Hello, my fellow human beings. This is the Little Saigon Report. We are really excited to be recording from Des Moines, Washington, the home of Beans, the French Bulldog. Beans is currently kind of being okay, sort of okay. Wouldn't you say so, Anna?
Yeah, he's doing his thing.
Okay. So it is October the 6th, 2019, Sunday. I think it's pretty close to what, 2:30 p.m. or something like that?
2:30, yeah.
Almost exactly. How was your week, Anna?
My week. It was good. Yeah. It was my first week of school. First week of classes. And yeah, it was good. I think I joined a cult this week. Not on purpose.
I want to know more.
Not on purpose, but so I'm interested and learning more about meditation, and there's this meditation group in Federal Way that was, I saw an ad online, and so I was really interested.
Where did you find the ad? Where online did you find it?
Well, I just like searched for meditation centers near me, and this is the first one that popped up, so.
Which search engine did you use?
Google.
Okay.
Was that
no, no,
the
keep
wrong
going.
Call?
No, okay. No. Okay. I just wanted to understand.
Okay. but yeah, they were really vague about it, so there were a lot of red flags. But yeah, so there was a free consultation the first day, and they basically told me like what the program's about. There's 7 different levels.
7 levels?
They keep adding new levels to keep people in. And it's $100 a month for unlimited guided meditation. And yeah, it's... It was weird. I mean, I liked it at first, but... So what you basically do, I did a little more research. It's called MAUM, M-A-U-M, MAUM meditation. And apparently the leader, the guy who created it, lives in a compound in Rhode Island.
A compound?
Yeah, yeah. And it's basically brainwashing you. And at a certain point, at a certain level, you start worshiping him as God. And so him as God, his wife as the eternal mother.
She's the divine spirit.
She's the divine mother. Yeah. And then his son is the heavenly child.
He's the son of God.
Yeah. So,
holy crap, you skipped to the end.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to read the Bible.
No, I know. Yeah,
you still in it, though?
No.
I mean...
I'm like, do you think I should stay in it?
I mean, let's think about this, though. Uh-huh. I mean, my question is, you know how people will say, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
What would Beans do?
Like,
if Beans were in a situation you're in, would Beans stay in for the long haul so he could meet the Jesus of Rhode Island?
Right.
Or would he get out?
That's a good question. What would Beans do?
What would you do, Beans? You son of a bitch. So you're not going to join the cult?
I'm not going to join the cult.
How much did it cost? Like, how much? Did you pay anything?
I did. I paid $100. They have my credit card information, so
okay.
I don't know what to do about that.
Is your bank... Okay, can I give you some advice?
Yeah.
My bank will let you, like, destroy a card and just get a new one printed.
Really?
And a lot of banks can do that now.
Oh.
My advice is contact your bank as soon as possible.
Okay.
This sounds like a shady operation.
Yeah. I will do that. Because, yeah, it was... It's strange. And the last day I went there, they told me that my meditation teacher told me that, oh, some people come here like 3 to 4 times a day if you want to do that.
How much does that cost?
It's the same amount, but
okay.
It's like, yeah, it's...
So some people spend all day there.
Some people spend all day there. And basically you're just erasing your memories, your past memories. Yeah. That's what the meditation's about. And once you go through 50 of those cycles, then you go on to the next level.
So they, okay, so first you have to delete all your current memories.
Yes.
Then they can, they can fill your brain with new memories.
Exactly.
Of the Jesus of Rhode Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this sounds great.
I know. It's like, And also, at a certain point, you have to pay $1,000 to send your dead relatives to heaven from purgatory.
Oh, so they're giving indulgences.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, there was a whole series of religious wars partially triggered over bullshit like this.
Really?
Yeah. Back in the late Middle Ages, mm-hmm. the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, wanted to make a little extra jing-jing. Mm-hmm. And they started saying, hey, you know, we don't know what we can do about hell, but you know that purgatory we were telling you about? We can get people out. Get you out of there. Just give us a little money for an indulgence.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They would do that. And so during the 15th century, right before the Reformation, they were going all over Germany. You know, it wasn't called Germany, it was the Holy Roman Empire, but they're going through all these little German states and say, yeah, listen, you stupid Germans, you want to get your friends out of purgatory, give us money. It was one of the things that really pissed off Martin Luther. It was one of his 95 theses, the things that he posted, I think, what was it, 1509 or something on the door in Wittenberg or something. But yeah, one of the things that was an issue for him was the fact that the papacy was going around giving get out of jail free cards.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So they were like going door to door.
More or less, village to village. They would bring a big money crate. I know. It's messed up. It's the kind of shit that Beans mm-hmm. would do shit like that.
He would, absolutely.
I mean, and he'd probably make money at it. Like he'd be going out with blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You want to get your dogs to doggy heaven, blah, blah, blah. And he'd say, look at God loves me mm-hmm. and look at me. But it only takes money. So seriously, they were trying to say that if you gave them extra money, you could get your relatives, your dead relatives into heaven.
I mean, I'm not at that level yet, but I did some more research.
How much money does it take to get to that level?
I don't know. I think just as much as they can get from you. Yeah. And they have their own line of like supplements too.
They always do.
They do. Yeah.
They have essential oils. You need to be taking our essential oils and greases derived from the freshest French bulldogs in Micronesia. Mm-hmm. We squeeze them. We take the French bulldogs and we squeeze them. We squeegee out everything. Oh, look at your face. Aww. We squeegee it all out. Yeah, he knows. We squeegee it all out, Beans. We put you in a press. You know those big old apple presses? Mm-hmm. And then we get you the essential oils. You pay us $2,500 an ounce. Why? For the value. For the value. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Mm-hmm. So you actually had a way more interesting week than me. Now, of course, I spent a fair amount of my week listening to Pink Floyd, drinking mm-hmm. beer, and vaping marijuana. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you had a more interesting week than me. If I'd actually gone outside, mm-hmm. instead of just sitting around being a piece of crap, I might have found a cult too. Mm-hmm. Or I might have founded a cult.
Right.
If I'd add my shit together.
Mm-hmm. Man, missed out.
I wasted time.
Yeah.
I could have been making cults and cult members.
Yeah. Could have been the god of Seattle.
I will be the lord of Little Saigon. Mm-hmm. They will make me, you know, if I survive day zero. Mm-hmm. And you see, I've already got a cult because I talk about things like day zero. You know, day zero.
I mean,
and that's how you open the conversation. What's day zero, Dan? Oh, let me tell you. But if you want to know, you have to get to level 6 and you have to pay $50 per level.
Right.
And maybe it's more like 50, maybe it's x squared per level. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it's polynomial and shit. I don't want any of this linear stuff. You got to work hard. You get toward the end, it's got to be climbing a mountain. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, it took me $50 to get level 1. Now it takes me 50 grand to get to level 7? Well, yeah. You think the path to God is a straight line? No, it's a curve. Mm-hmm. It's a curve. So, yeah. Anything else happened this week for you other than the cult?
Not really. The cult was... I spent a lot of time there. Not a lot of time. I went there every single day for about an hour. So it wasn't that bad. But
every day for an hour for the last week.
For the last, I think, a couple of weeks.
Used to get your money worth, though. Probably that was that sunk cost thing.
Exactly.
Have you ever heard of the sunk cost fallacy?
Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting topic. For those of you that are listening, the sunk cost fallacy is another fallacy sort of related to what's called the normalcy bias, or sometimes referred to as the free throw fallacy. But it's basically a set of fallacies that have to do with what makes us comfortable versus uncomfortable. What makes sense versus what doesn't make sense. And in the sense of sunk cost, if people put money down for something, even if it's crazy, because they put money down for it, they have to do something. They have to put some effort into it, because otherwise the money's wasted. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, if what they're doing is crazy, then it's crazy. But you think to yourself, well, did I waste money? I don't want to waste money, right? Mm-hmm. Right? I spent money on this crazy trip. Mm-hmm. It was like when I went to Ireland in 2016. I spent a lot of money on that fucking trip. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't spend at least 5 days there, even if it was crazy,
yeah,
even if the person I was there with was crazy, I felt like shit. I just wasted a ton. And I did. I wasted a ton of money either way.
Mm-hmm. Was it worth it?
It wasn't worth it. No. It was hell. It was hellish. And that's a whole nother thing. Yeah. But sunk cost gets you, because mm-hmm. people think I spent money on this. Mm-hmm. So I got, it's like you buy something. Mm-hmm. You can't return it. You can't sell it. You can't give it away. And you don't want to throw it away. Mm-hmm. That's right. We're talking about you again, Beans. Let's switch topics then. On to that. So you heard about the incident with Beans, where he ran out into the street. What's up with that, and what do we do?
I mean, well,
there have to be consequences.
You want to do a trial.
I want to put him on trial. Yeah. Did you know that during the Middle Ages, in addition to witches being put on trial, cats were put on trial, believe it or not.
Cats.
I know you think, Dan, this is crazy. It's actually true.
Like, serious.
Seriously,
trials.
They would put cats on trial.
Just like black cats?
Cats that were considered familiars of witches and whatnot. But the point is, they put cats on trial.
What would that even look like?
Well, up to a certain point, it might look really cute. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
Like you might have a little jury of little kittens go, meow, meow. You know, you might have something cute.
Yeah, they're just sitting there on, like, the little pedestal or whatever.
I don't think it was cute. I think it was more like, you know, they put the wooden box on the cat and they keep adding rocks to it.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? I think that's what it was. It was pretty terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's my view on Beans, is that if we did a trial, I was thinking maybe we could do it this month or next month. Mm-hmm. I'll put together a script, but we can always improv within a script. You could be the prosecuting attorney.
Okay.
Your mom would be the public defender of Beans.
Okay.
And I would simply be the judge. Dr. Freckles, the judge. I would judge Beans guilty or innocent based upon the persuasion of your arguments. Mm-hmm. And just for dramatic effect, I think we'd have to have your, I was telling your mom this, your dad would have to come in at the last minute with a big old bag of letters. Again, it's all audios. So you have to imagine it in your head. Mm-hmm. And it's like these are letters to save Santa Claus, not Beans. I don't know.
Oh my God. I love that.
I do, but I just don't know about Beans. Like, I think that he can learn. Mm-hmm. Does he want to learn?
I think he's smart enough, but he knows, you know,
maybe
how to make it work.
Maybe, exactly. Maybe he knows he can get away with shit.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, absolutely.
He totally does. He knows he can get away with it. Mm-hmm. He knows that he's not going to be harmed.
Yeah.
That everything he does, no matter how terrible, will be greeted with cuddles and snuggles and cookies. Mm-hmm. He knows this.
Yeah, he knows it.
You gotta flip the script on it. Mm-hmm. I had this idea, and I feel like there's a business opportunity. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, before I get into this idea, you know, you asked me about that list of books a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, one of those books, highly recommend, King Solomon's Ring by Conrad Lorenz. Read the book, and then meditate on Beans. Read that book. I would actually, if you end up taking a class where you have to write some type of an essay based on a book, read that book. And apply Conrad Lorenz's ideas to that, to Beans. Mm. I think it'd be interesting. But anyways, I don't know what we should do about him. I feel like he's been given a free ride to be the tyrant of Des Moines.
Absolutely.
Somebody, and I'm not going to say who, I mean, someone is responsible. We'll leave the name off the table. Mm-hmm. There's a person we could point fingers at, but we're not gonna. No, we're not going to. No, it's kind of like, it's like this country song I want to write about Beans. Too cute to kill, too ugly to live.
Too cute to kill.
It's true.
That.
Too cute to kill, too ugly to live. Mm-hmm. They're not equipped. I saw them. Haven't you ever seen them do this? Okay, admit this. And now I know this is a fact. I'm sure this is true of all French bulldogs. Have you ever seen him pathetically try to scratch himself with his rear leg? He'll go in circles. It's sad as fuck.
So sad.
All day long. You keep trying. You're never going to do it.
He can't. It's just his anatomy isn't equipped to.
He wasn't bred to be a dog. No. He was bred to be a burden.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly what he is. He's a big glumbus.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what do you think he thinks when he wakes up in the morning? Does he think, oh, the joy of life? No. If he could speak in a way that humans could understand, he would say angry words towards us. Mm-hmm. We doomed him. We doomed the French Bulldog to a life of hell.
You know what? No wonder he's so entitled. You know, he's like, I deserve this. You guys made me like this. I'm going to just do what I want. Exactly. You know? And then, yeah.
So I don't know what we do. I think the trial is a good idea, but here's the business idea. Mm-hmm. And this is how you can sort of bookend it with maybe reading that Lorenz book. Mm-hmm. I think we could create a collapsible maze that you could collapse out. It'd be a lot like these little gates and fences your parents have, mm-hmm. but imagine it as a designer maze. And in addition to the basic fencing, you set it up so there's a place to poop and a place to eat. And if the French Bulldog doesn't obey the basic diagrams of the maze, mm-hmm. he doesn't get to poop in the right place. He doesn't get to eat in the right place. He doesn't get to sleep in the right place. So he's basically being forced, kind of like what I did when you guys were in Hawaii. We both know he's smart.
Yeah.
We both know he wants to get away with it. Mm-hmm. So we put him in a puzzle and say, okay, solve this, beans. Mm-hmm. Guess what? That might be a way to potty train French Bulldogs.
That's
automated potty training. Automated training, literally. And then the thing is, after a month or two, you no longer put them in that, but mm-hmm. it'll still be there. It's a lot like when an elephant, and this is horrible because I don't think elephants should be mistreated, but when, you know, elephants that are in zoos and stuff, mm-hmm. when they're young, they'll have a shackle put on their leg mm-hmm. and there'll be a spike driven to the ground. And yeah, when they're young, the spike will hold them in place. When they become adults, even though that spike would never, ever hold them in place, they still think it will. So like with him, we just got to put him in the puzzle. We'll call it the puzzle. People love puzzles. They'll think
the puzzle.
They'll call it the puzzle.
The dog puzzle.
The French puzzle.
Yeah.
Because people have French Bulldogs and they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. They're running into the same problem. Mm-hmm. So it's all jokes aside, I think there's a business opportunity here.
That's a really, not even for just French Bulldogs. Just
we'll
for
start
like,
with them. Though,
okay.
Because they're trouble.
Yeah.
But you're right. Any type of city dog where, mm-hmm. where people don't have enough time to properly train, why don't you build a puzzleator? And the puzzleator mm-hmm. will force them into a certain strategy. Mm-hmm. Okay? They have to obey the strategy if they want to eat, if they want to poop without sleeping on their poop. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's, you know, it's more or less the philosophy that's kind of crystallized around a lot of my beliefs recently. Don't shit where you eat. Think about it. He doesn't shit where he eats. He doesn't.
No.
Okay, I found that out last December. If you put him in a situation where he has a choice to poop someplace where he has to sleep, he will poop someplace else. Now, will he poop where you don't like him pooping? Absolutely he'll poop there.
Yeah.
You just have to make that a bad decision for him. Mm-hmm. So the puzzleator.
I think that's really smart. You know,
do you think we can make money?
Yeah. I think so.
Then here's your project. I want you to puzzle on this
uh-huh.
and put together all the notes
okay.
and all the diagrams and do all the work.
Okay.
I'll come on later
okay.
as kind of like, you know, I don't know, but I'll come along later.
They
take a little bit of money, but not so much of the work.
You'll get some royalties.
I'll get some royalties,
right?
Okay? I'll get some money,
yeah.
but I don't want to put all the effort into it.
Okay.
Because I think that, yeah, I the sunk cost, the full circle, the sunk cost fallacy, mm-hmm. French Bulldogs are literally walking, barking, yelping examples of the sunk cost fallacy. People get the French Bulldog, they get attached to it, they put money into it, they do the little numbers game in their head, well, he's only going to live 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I only got 8 to 10 years of this. Mm-hmm. They can't give him up.
Mm-mm.
Too cute to kill, mm-hmm. too ugly to live.
Mm-hmm.
That's a French Bulldog. That's also a musical. That's the title of a musical about French Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Beans.
Beans
is the name of the musical. The musical. The musical about him will be called Beans, colon, Too cute to kill, comma, too ugly to live. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Anyways, what other topics do you have? Do you have any other topics? Because I did not want to talk about my darkness, and okay. I've been talking way too much about it. Mm-hmm. So I hope you have some more topics.
Well, I mean, I found another, when I was researching French bulldogs, there's like a lot of propaganda around them. Like you can't find anything bad about French bulldogs.
Really? You can't find anything bad? I found a lot bad.
You did?
Were you researching? So what did you find that was nice about them?
Well, I mean, I just kind of, well, you know, how they're just like, you know, energetic. They love people. They're easygoing. Just a lot of...
I mean, one of those things is kind of true. Mm-hmm. The loving people part, I mean...
Yeah, no.
Are they easygoing?
No, I don't think so. Beans isn't. No. But I don't know if we just raised them wrong or...
So this gets back to the...
Yeah. I don't want to say the name.
I don't want to say it either. I don't want to go there. I won't go there because you know what? Love is a fickle thing.
Yeah.
Love is a trap. Mm-hmm. People fall in love with their pets and then their pets take control. You know? Mm-hmm. You know?
I know.
Well, look at Beans. Look at him. He's just sitting there. Oh, what did I do? Oh, what did I do?
Oh my goodness.
He's so, yeah. The thing is, though, I found a lot of stuff that was negative.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, where did you find it?
All over the internet. I found all kinds of articles.
What search engine did you use?
I think I was using Google.
Google, okay.
But the thing is, though, you have to go deep because Google puts a lot of stuff at the top of the results that tends to be what the French Bulldog Society of America wants you to believe, okay?
Right, exactly, the American Kennel Club.
Exactly, American Kennel Club. Yeah. Oh, AK, okay, if you were going to AKC, you're AK wrong.
Yeah.
Because they're going to tell you bullshit. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you the French Bulldog is loyal, he is clean.
Yeah.
He's clean, he's loyal. He obeys you. Mm-hmm. He cares about you. Yeah. He'll be there for you. That's what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. French Bulldog's only in it for himself. Mm-hmm. Beans is in it for himself. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch. Look at him. Oh. But the thing is, though, he's so freaking cute, though.
Yeah. He... Sometimes he's cute. Sometimes, I don't know. It's weird.
He gets less cute the closer his face gets to your face.
Yeah.
Like when he's starting to go, nyah, 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 then it's like, no, now you're looking like a lamprey.
Yeah.
Or a hermit lamprey, hermit crab.
If he opens his mouth too wide, it's a little, his teeth are kind of.
Yeah, they're like Nephilim.
Reptilian-like.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Nephilim or reptilian. Mm-hmm. He's got more than one row.
Yeah, exactly. He's got multiple rows.
like a great white. Yeah. You know? He'll bite you, and if he leaves a few teeth behind, whatever. I just keep growing them. Uh-huh. That's just like the Nephilim, you know, the half human, half angel. They supposedly have two rows of teeth. I'm telling you, something going on there with that guy.
Oh my gosh. Why do they have two rows of teeth?
I don't know. You'd have to ask one of these guys who goes deeper into that subject. I've only gone cursory on the topic of the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's technically like pre-flood stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because the flood was sent in part because the angels were, you know, getting it on with people.
Oh.
And God was not too happy about that.
So were the Nephilims good? Or were they?
No. They were half angel. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, it'll say things like, these were the men of renown. And my own interpretation of that part of Genesis, and I think that's Genesis 5, mm-hmm. is that, okay, you know about polytheism, like the Greek gods and stuff. Mm-hmm. My own personal theory is all of the pantheon of all the polytheistic stuff, all these other religions, these are fallen angels and their offspring that created these. That's my own personal belief. I know I'm a Christian, full disclosure. But yeah, so if you look at the pantheon, you're probably looking at fallen angels. Hmm. So like Zeus, Apollo, Dionysus, these are probably fallen angels.
I mean... That makes a lot of sense because, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. If you're not religious, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. If you are religious, it does. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to sell. Mm-hmm. Even though Christ would want me to be selling right now, uh-huh. I'm not actually selling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Nephilim, I was just joking about the teeth thing. And I don't know. Beans is okay. I don't know. I mean, do you have any other topics? Because I feel like I was going to go dark here in a second. I'm trying to, like, hold back.
Well, I mean, I have another thing to say about French Bulldogs.
Keep going.
I kind of went, I looked into the history of them. And apparently they were bred originally for bull bait.
Bull bait?
Yeah.
Like bulls?
Yeah.
Would chase them?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you like, bulls, like bovine, male steer.
Yeah. For entertainment.
For entertainment. And they would throw the French bulldogs out there,
yeah.
And the bulls would chase. Where did you, is this a real?
I found it on Wikipedia.
It was on, oh well,
so I don't,
50-50, but if it's on Wikipedia, somebody's lying.
And they had a little picture of it too, so.
That's kind of creepy.
It's kind of, it's hard to
say. So it was designed to basically allow bulls to train, kind of, to be more vicious.
Yeah.
That actually does explain a lot. It kind of explains their whole disposable nature. Like, you just stick them in a Pez dispenser. Well, another French bulldog, and they just toss them in there. Yeah. I mean, you'd have a whole bunch of those guys. But, you know, it's kind of like lobster. I don't know if you know this or not. But in the 19th century, in New England prisons, they would feed lobster to prisoners. Back in the day. Really, because back then, it was like, it wasn't considered the great whatever delicacy that all the fancy people ate. So maybe the French bulldogs like lobster. Like, back in the day, it was really just a throwaway animal. But now it's different. Like, barbecue. Barbecue fed the slaves. Now we get the French bulldog. Because barbecue basically comes from slaves cooking meat that was lower quality that they were given so they could make it better tasting. Well, maybe the French bulldog is like that. Like those examples. Maybe it was once, according to economic theory, the French bulldog was once an inferior good. And now it's technically a luxury good, which means that as you make more money, you buy more French bulldogs. Look at that. Look at how cute that is. I wish you guys could see this. It's so fucking precious. It's just, and that's why. What we're looking at right now, the love between an owner and their French bulldog, that's why.
Yeah.
You know, he's got her under his control. She's never escaping that.
No, she's trapped forever. Trapped.
Oh, what's been going on in my life? I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but maybe I can turn my answers into questions. What did I do this week? What did I do this week that was very interesting? Oh, I truly don't know. I truly don't know what I did this week that was interesting. I wish I could say, did I see a movie that I hadn't seen? Not really. God, you know what? The last month has been kind of a void of just empty nothingness. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. Been a very dark place. Mm-hmm. Kind of feeling like reality's coming unglued. But is that my reality or is that everybody's reality? I don't know.
And is that a bad thing?
Here's the thing. There's another book. I don't know if I included this in that list. Mm-hmm. But it's a book you should one day read if you have a chance. Mm-hmm. The Structure of Scientific Revolutions by Thomas Kuhn. He coined the phrase paradigm shift. Like, if you ever hear paradigm shift, that's Thomas Kuhn. And Thomas Kuhn would say that right before the way we look at the world collectively changes, people go kind of crazy. So sometimes the crazy can be a sign of something that's coming that might not be bad. Could actually be good, could be renewal, could be rebirth, we don't know. But before it happens, according to Kuhn, you get a lot of crazy. And he's not the only person I've read over the years that have talked about this, like transition, periods of transition. In evolutionary biology, they'll call this punctuated equilibrium. Like, if you look at the history of evolution, it's kind of boring. Like, you have long periods of time where not much changes, and then you have some radical event. That's punctuated equilibrium. A big old exclamation mark happens. And sometimes it's quite catastrophic. In fact, in some cases, the punctuation mark's so big, we call it an extinction. And that's really bad. Like, when the punctuation mark gets that big, that means 90% of everything alive is going to be gone. And that's happened, according to current theory, in the last 4 or 5 billion years, about 6 times. We're technically in the 6th mass extinction right now if you believe what they're telling you.
So we're in it right now.
Right now. I forget the number, but there's so many species going extinct every single day.
Like a lot of insects and
birds, animals, you name it.
Wow.
In fact, if you believe the numbers, at some point in the next 10 years, in terms of the numbers and the rate of extinction, pretty much everything should be extinct. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it's a numbers game mm-hmm. on one level, and you have to believe the science.
Hmm. Aren't we also discovering new species?
That's also all the time? True. We also do. We do. Now, the question is, do we discover species at a greater number than the number that are going extinct? And I think the answer is probably no. But I really don't know. Hmm. Here's the thing, though. To what extent am I supposed to believe any of this or not believe it? Do you have time to do the research? Do you have time to go and find out? I mean, I asked you to research French bulldogs, mm-hmm. and even there, it's hard to find the full truth.
Yeah.
I mean, the American Kennel Society or Kennel, what, Kennel Society, AKC, Kennel?
American Kennel Club.
Kennel Club. It's a club.
It's a club.
The American Kennel Club.
You're in the club, Mom.
Look at that guy. Son of a bitch. He's in a kennel club. Oh, you're so cute. Yeah. How do you... When you were, okay, so you're a student, you're in school. Do you ever wonder to what extent the stuff that your teachers, your professors are telling you is bullshit?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a research methods class right now. And, like, research is so, I don't know. How do you measure certain things? You know, how do you measure...
Have you guys talked about hypothesis testing yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, you will. And so there is a statistical definition mm-hmm. of saying whether or not something is significant. Mm-hmm. Because that's what hypothesis testing is about, mm-hmm. finding significance, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a statistical process. And there's a simple set of mathematical tools for doing it. Mm-hmm. So on one level, they'd say, well, we practice a scientific method and we do all this math and we end up with the right answer. Mm-hmm. But you still have to believe them, right?
Right. Yeah,
why would they lie?
Right. If they have, unless they have some sort of agenda, you know.
That's the thing.
But
doesn't, like, I mean, even the best person you ever met, mm-hmm. the nicest, truest person you ever, ever met.
Yeah.
If they were human, they probably had an agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
So that's the thing. I don't know. I really don't know. I look back upon my education, and some days I think maybe I should just say, you guys take back the loans that I owe you, mm-hmm. and you can have the degrees. Mm-hmm. Like, you can literally erase that. You can erase all that time I spent in school. You can say it never happened, but I don't want to pay you another dime of student loan payments for the rest of my freaking life. Because, frankly, I think you lied to me. I think you fed me a lot of bullshit. Not total bullshit, not that all of it was bullshit, mm-hmm. but maybe some of the most important things were bullshit. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, people say, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to take that education and say it never happened? Because maybe some of it never really did. Like, in the sense that the knowledge I studied mm-hmm. was false.
Mm-hmm. You studied history, right?
That's right. A big part of it, not all of it. Like, the last degree was technically... in the technical world, it mm-hmm. was, you know, computer programming stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the bulk of my education's history. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I think most of it was bullshit. That's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a cliche. People say that the victors write the history books, but it's worse than that. History's always been about justifying power. Mm-hmm. Every history department in every country, every political science department in every country is about justifying power. Period. Even the quote-unquote radicals, even the people on the fringes will tell you this is the allowed area within which debate will occur, mm-hmm. okay? So, anarchists need not apply. You're not in the poem. We'll talk about the socialists and the communists. First they came for them, then they'll come for those. But other people we won't talk about because we don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff. So even when it comes to radical history in American universities, it's about controlled opposition. It's about telling people to stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. Don't ask questions. Sometimes it's called the Overton window. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the window through which you're allowed to see the world. And they'll shift it on you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I do think it's important. I mean, okay, what you're doing, mm-hmm. and if you're okay with me saying this, mm-hmm. you know, you're studying to work in the medical field, the health field, to take care of people. Mm-hmm. So on some level, you would hope that most of that data is not false, right?
Right.
Wouldn't you hope that if you're studying under an instructor who's going to help you become a caregiver, mm-hmm. a practitioner, a medical professional, wouldn't you hope that that information would be mostly true?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, you'd think so. Because, I mean, there's nothing really, like, I don't know, theoretical, if that's the right word, about it. It's very, like, you know, like, it's tested. We know how to take care of people. We know what to do in that regard, but, like...
But, like, a lot of doctors, though, you know what they're told? They're told there's a pill for it.
Yeah, and that's the bad thing about it. That's the horrible thing. That's... Yeah.
You ever think about becoming a PA?
I
because, honestly, if I was going to go down this road... Uh-huh. And I came to this conclusion, I'll let you answer, I interrupted you, mm-hmm. but when I was in the service, I met people that were PAs. Mm-hmm. And frankly speaking, they did everything a doctor did. Mm-hmm. And then when I got out, I encountered the same thing. I thought, well, it seems like a smart PA can be a really good doctor, mm-hmm. but not have to go into $300,000 or $400,000 worth of debt.
Yeah, I've thought about it before. I think... Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not pressuring you. I'm just curious. Because I think physician's assistants are cool. Like, mm-hmm. Dr. Khan, who's a physician I used to see, a really good guy, he had a couple of PAs work for him. Mm-hmm. They were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's, I don't know.
Let me change the question for you. When you're done studying what you're going to study, mm-hmm. what do you want to do with it?
So I want to become a therapist, and so I want to have my own practice one day, but I'm still, I don't know, I'm still debating about whether or not college is actually worth it. What do you think?
Here's what I think. I think if you're going to go to college... Mm-hmm. Ignore the following. Mm-hmm. Ignore prestige bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because okay. I honestly don't believe the extra hundreds of thousands of dollars necessarily gets you extra education. That's number one. Number two, I would focus on what's practical. Okay. If I could do it all over again, knowing what I know now, I don't even think I would have studied computer science. I would either have studied medicine or chemistry, mm-hmm. or something practical. Okay. You know, because there's a lot of stuff, in my view of the future, in my view of the world, there's a lot of stuff that we just won't need or can't afford in the future. Mm-hmm. But what we will need are things like doctors. We will need fresh water. We will need clean food. And all these things require basic sciences and medicine. Mm-hmm. They don't really require computer programmers. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you need electricity to have computers. And again, the way I see the future, we could, no matter what waits for us beyond, mm-hmm. we could still go through a period of time where a lot of the things we take for granted will simply not be there. And here's the thing, you had great-grandparents, at least. You had great-grandparents, and so did I, that lived a life without most of this electronic crap, if not all of it. Maybe never even had electricity. Mm-hmm. Were their lives worse off for it?
They're probably better.
Yeah, I would think so too. And it's not that I'm anti-technology, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I just think people make a lot of foolish assumptions about technology. Like they assume that it just arrives. Like I just push a button and suddenly it's there. But no, actually, technology is the result of a very complex set of relationships, mm-hmm. and a history, all of which have to be in a certain state for it to work. For example, it's not just that you need to discover things. You need to have people who can keep those things going and reteach them. Mm-hmm. So it's not just enough to say, we know how to use photo mapping and photo masking to create an integrated circuit. Mm-hmm. We have to have people in the future who know how to do the same thing. Now, the counter argument, and this is what the AI people say, well, no, we're going to build machines so smart, we'll never have to worry about another thing again. Do you believe, when you hear that, because you know they tell you that, right? They tell your generation,
yeah,
there'll be a robot for everything.
Yeah, it's like you're going to go obsolete pretty soon.
Yeah,
so.
But then what happens to you?
Yeah.
Do you know what happens to you in that scenario? Mm-hmm. Like, if all the cars are driving themselves, that means there's no taxi drivers. Mm-hmm. If the hair is being cut by a machine, there's nobody who needs a barber or stylist. Mm-hmm. The computers will be writing their own programs. What job is left? I even saw in Nashville a realtor that was testing out these little drone robots that would actually show a house to people instead of a person being there.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though. It didn't really look that interesting to me. Mm. It was basically like a Roomba with a TV stuck to the top of it. So it wasn't really that interesting. It couldn't go upstairs, for example. You know, that's kind of a problem if you want to show a house, right? You can't go upstairs. I mean, what do you say as a robot? Well, listen, this house is great for people with legs. If you only have wheels, we can work with it. We'll set up a little system, you know? What are you going to say? They tell us the machines will take care of everything.
Yeah.
They tell you that they'll take care of everything. Mm-hmm. I think what you're doing is smart. If you want to know what I think what you're studying is smart. Mm-hmm. I actually told your cousin Marn the same thing. Mm-hmm. If I was doing it over again, I might go to nursing school. Mm-hmm. I might be a PA. There are lots of things I would do. But I wouldn't have done what I did. Mm-hmm. I did what I did because I believed in a future that never happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming anyone, okay? Mm-hmm. It was my mistake. I ended up adopting a philosophy of the future that turned out to be total fucking bullshit.
Because that's what we're fed, you know?
Yeah, and it's hard, but, you know, and I know there are some listeners who aren't religious, so I'm not going to go there, but there is this additional piece of information that exists in the universe that I don't know how to define. I can't tell you that it's in a book or that you can learn it, but it seems to me that there is inspiration or discernment or a notion or an intuition that people have. Mm-hmm. For example, I don't really know the truth of all the things in the world. I don't. Who does other than God? But I've gotten pretty good, I think, at knowing what I'm lied to. Mm-hmm. Okay, I gave this following thought experiment to your mom, and I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. Because this is real. If you research this, you will find these two positions from the same administration, the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. A number of months ago, I saw an article coming from basically from Business Insider. They were interviewing a Trump administration official, and the article was saying Trump administration is really excited because the Arctic Ocean is open for business and all the ice is virtually gone and we can go up there and drill and have ships going everywhere. Fine. Mm-hmm. And then I saw an article a few weeks later that said there's never been more Arctic ice and the Arctic Ocean is totally fine. And ignore the methane blowouts and the pingos. Do you know what a pingo is?
No.
I said, I don't know if I want you to do this. Okay. I would say go into a search engine and type in pingo, but you're going to be scared. Because when you see these things, they look like sinkholes, but they're not. These are giant methane blowouts around the Arctic Circle.
Oh my gosh.
Methane explosively blowing up into the atmosphere.
From the
permafrost. Okay, so permafrost means permanently frozen, right? Uh-huh. Well, guess what the permafrost isn't anymore?
Not frozen.
Not really permanent. No, it's becoming slushy. And there's two problems. One, methane that's trapped is being released. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. It's even as scary or worse. There's billions, trillions of tons of organic matter that has been frozen, that is starting to break down. And it will rapidly go through that process. And what it will also release as a result is methane. Okay, lots of extra carbon, lots of methane. This is kind of bad.
Wow.
But then they say don't worry about it. Here's my question. If some administration tells you the two following things. One, there's never been more Arctic ice. And two, the Arctic is open for business. Which one do you believe?
You don't know.
I mean, you travel, okay? Uh-huh. So like, if I read an article about, have you been to India yet? India yet? Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe this isn't a good example. But like, I'll read an article about Chennai, and it'll say a few weeks ago or a few months ago, things were so bad that people were robbing water trucks because they needed to drink water. I mean, right. If you don't drink water, you'll die. Mm-hmm. The temperatures were so bad there. I mean, I think in some places in India this last summer, the temperatures were around 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh my gosh.
And people need to know something. At around 120, you technically start to die. Like, your body loses its ability to maintain any type of regulatory homeostasis. At a certain temperature, there isn't enough sweat to keep you from overheating. You will just slowly die. But the problem is, what if that's not true? Like, what if, in fact, everything's great in India? What if there are no problems with water? You see, this is the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a mind game. I don't know if it's the Truman Show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they tell you that all these places are scary because they don't want you going there. I honestly don't know. Like South Africa. You went to South Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to certain news sources, the situation in South Africa, politically, economically, socially, is deteriorating. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. What did you see when you were there?
Well, I mean, I thought it was great, you know, no problems. And when I was there, it was actually during a drought. So we were told, like, not to take short showers. You know, if it's yellow, let it mellow, stuff like that. And so, yeah, but then apparently, like, a few months later, they said, oh, just kidding, there was never a drought. And then just it kind of disappeared.
That's weird,
isn't it?
It
was really weird, yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. And that's all. And that's about the only thing I can say. It's like, okay, this morning I wake up on my way to church. It's about 7 a.m., mm-hmm. right? I look up at the sky and it's more or less clear. Blue sky, clear sky. I see one plane spraying. And I know already there are people out spraying, blah, blah, blah. And then what? A few hours later, tons of planes spraying. And now the sky is kind of cloudy, kind of mucky. And I guarantee you by 5 or 6 p.m., it's going to look like this nasty, silvery, grayish plate sky. And for those of you born in the last 20 years, you might say, well, this looks kind of normal. Mm-hmm. For those of us that used to remember dark clouds rolling off the Pacific, mm-hmm. which means they didn't just arrive, they rolled in, mm-hmm. this is not normal. Our clouds did not spread out like a viscous substance across the sky.
Mm-hmm.
They rolled in from the Pacific back in the day. Believe it or not,
wow.
The winds blew these clouds in. They would hit the Cascades and they would rain, okay? They would actually lose mass. That was part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how, that's why the east side of the mountains is so dry, or at least it used to be the main dry place,
yeah.
because the clouds would roll in, they would drop most of their moisture in Western Washington, there wouldn't be a lot left.
Mm.
None of this looks normal to me, but what's the truth? What is the truth of it? I don't know. I gotta check the time.
Okay.
You don't have any more topics at all? Because I was hoping you might have something funny.
Funny. Let's see.
Do you have anything funny we can end this on at all? Just one funny thing. What are kids doing now for fun? Like in the happy-go-lucky days that are 2019,
mm-hmm.
how do you enjoy these wonderful salad days of just no concerns at all?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you went drinking. Aren't you 21
I'm
now?
Yeah, I turned 21.
Hey, tell us about your drinking when you were 21.
Well, I mean, I was going to go out to a bar with a couple friends, but then that friend decided to have a wine tasting party instead, and so...
Yeah, but did you taste?
No tasting was done. It was all...
You were guzzling.
Yeah, we were guzzling.
Wine tasting. That's what your mom... Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go wine tasting.
Yeah, that was... I know, right?
Were you tasting Boone's? Or you actually have good wine? Did you have good wine?
I can't really taste good wine. I can't taste the difference between good and bad wine.
That means you've only had bad wine.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. I've had good wine and I've had shitty wine. And I haven't really been a wine drinker in recent years because philosophically, mm-hmm. I've just gone to this place where, I don't know how to put this. It's almost like when I'm drinking, I want to feel the total misery of the alcohol, so
mm-hmm.
I'd almost rather drink a Rainier beer than a nice beer,
mm-hmm.
because even though Rainier is really just fluoridated water, sparkling
mm-hmm.
water with a hint of beer,
mm-hmm.
it still reminds me of my existence. Like, I don't feel out of place. If I grabbed a Pinot Noir now and started drinking it, I feel out of place. On the other hand, though,
mm-hmm.
and this is where this is going to sound hypocritical, if not contradictory, or both, every once in a while when I have the money, I will splurge for a really good sparkling wine from Napa Valley.
Mm.
Now, some will call this champagne,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, you can only get champagne from France, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not champagne, mm-hmm. it's just sparkling wine, but it's pretty good. For about $25, you get a good brut. It's pretty good stuff. Mix
mm-hmm.
that with a nice OG Kush on the volcano, and it's like Pink Floyd, and all this human bullshit goes away for 3 hours. Mm. And yeah, 3 hours isn't enough, but these days, if I can get 3 hours of where I don't have to think about the horror, God, it's worth it. It's worth it.
So.
Yeah, I just gave away my secret. How do I, Anne, how do you cope? Well, let's get someone on the table here. Many psychiatrists and counselors would not define this as coping. A great vast majority of corpus would say this is self-medicating. You shouldn't self-medicate. You should have the doctor medicate you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The doctor will give you the pill that will cure your ill. Right? Isn't that how it works?
Right. The mystery pill.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I never even knew what borderline personality disorder was until somebody said I had it.
Really?
Yeah. They said you're emotional. You get angry. There are things that cause you anger and you respond to them. And I said, listen.
Who told you this?
All those things are true, and and why is that bad?
Right. Why is it bad to feel emotion?
I actually had a guy the other day tell me that he thought I was emotional. He didn't say too emotional. He said, why are you emotional? I said, well, I can give you some evolutionary history. What I'm going to tell you is because I'm not an evil fuck. That's how I feel. Like, I think there's a lot of people out there who say, I don't feel emotion. That's because there's something wrong with you.
Right. Or they're on antidepressant. Or, I mean, I can't say if that. I can't say.
You know, a lot of those drugs can make people functionally sociopathic.
Yeah.
You know, in the sense of behavior. Like, they may not be genetically predisposed towards sociopathy, but a lot of those drugs will put people into a state where they just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And they treat people like objects.
That's how I felt. I was on an antidepressant for a while. And yeah,
I tried them too. And listen, my method's not perfect. If you're going to ask me, Dan, are you ready to start the cult of the 3-hour champagne and volcano vape ritual? Firstly, yes. Secondly, there's going to be 50 levels. Thirdly, you're going to pay in cash or silver, physical silver or physical gold or, you know, French bulldog meat. But those are your choices to pay. But you can get to every level. I mean, 3 hours a day, it's what I do sometimes. And last month, I've probably done it almost every day, and I'm not proud of it. This is not pride speaking. This is simply honesty. And the fact is, I don't think escapism is right. But have I, for the last 30 days, more or less played the world of escape? Yeah, I'll admit to it. Why lie? This is my question. Why do people go around pretending? Like, they'll say, like, for example, you know those questionnaires will ask you how many drinks do you have a week? Everyone has them, especially if you're starting a new job. How many beers do you have a week? It's like people will say what is the answer they want to hear.
Right. Yeah.
How many beers do you have a week, Anna? How many beers do you have a week? Do you want to tell anybody?
I mean, I'll tell you if I know what you want me to say.
Exactly.
The right answer.
Exactly. So when I fill out the form, I don't tell them, and this is maybe wrong, I don't say the totally correct answer. I give them the answer that's close to the truth and close to what they want to hear. That's the truth.
Yeah. It's a good balance.
But honestly, when it comes to my everyday life, not the form, I kind of tell it the way it is. Why not? You know, the form is so I can work a job to get food and water and shelter. That's all it means to me. There may be some type of professional life for people in the future. There's no professional life for me right now. It doesn't matter to me. There is nothing professionally that I personally would invest my time in right now, because it all seems so tentative. It all seems so open to question. Getting back to the whole thing, what do you fucking believe? If someone tells you that computers will be writing computer programs in a decade, and you're 50 years old, why would you give a fuck about your career for the next 10 years?
Right.
I'm not saying it's true, but then ask yourself, what then is true if it's not true? Like, how much of this shit is bullshit? How much of the technological hype is false?
Right.
I don't know. What I do know is this. There were jet aircraft using turbine fan engines when I was born. There are still jet aircraft using turbine fan engines today, 50 years later, okay? Supposedly, when I was born, we were sending people to the moon and back. we haven't done that. We haven't sent anybody past 700 miles mm-hmm. above the Earth mm-hmm. in 50 years since
well,
then.
Well, we just lost the...
Oh, you mean the Indians? They lost that probe
yeah.
to Martian?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe that's a story. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew. I wish I could find the truth. All I can do now is I feel like I can figure out some lies, but that's it. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're about an hour in this podcast, and I felt like it went pretty well. Mm-hmm. Anna, I really appreciate you mm-hmm. like participating. I hope we can do more of these. Mm-hmm. I do want to try to go to a place with these interviews with you and hopefully with your brother mm-hmm. when he gets back from the Queensland Navy. My listeners know that he is currently training in the Queensland Navy. He is going to become an upper echelon commodore or a lower threshold admiral, and probably he'll have his own ship within a matter of months. Mm-hmm. It'll have 3 or 4 masts, maybe 15 sails. He promises he'll fight the pirates. Mm-hmm. We'll keep him to his word.
Yeah.
You know, beyond mm-hmm. that, I can't say much, but he'll be back hopefully in December. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can do one then mm-hmm. and talk about the Queensland Navy. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
That sounds great.
Okay. Yeah. So until we get to talk to your brother, mm-hmm. Admiral of the Ocean Sea, about the Queensland Navy, mm-hmm. until then, until the next podcast we do, mm-hmm. or rather, if we do a trial of beans until then, mm-hmm. have a great rest of your week. And everyone else that's been listening to this crazy podcast from Des Moines, I almost feel like I want to get beans to say something. Ugh. But no, we'll leave him alone. Talk to you guys later.